everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Unravel Narrator. Y'all, did I think about just shutting this shit down and not continuing with this shit and just like falling off the face of the earth? Yes. But clearly I didn't decide to do that because I'm coming with you with another episode. I think this is the longest I've ever like been like, sorry you guys, no new episode, like things have come up. And it's crazy because it's not crazy, but like truthfully, and a lot of y'all probably know this, like when I say like I can't put something out, I was probably sitting on like 3 episodes, like 3 hours worth of content, and I just like I hated it all. And the same thing with this one. I already recorded 2 versions of this episode like a month and a half ago, and I just like hated it so much, like the usual. But this time, truly, the past 3 months, honestly, like ever since like June 6th, very specific date, my life has exceedingly got worse. And if you're somebody that knows me personally and they're like, what, you look like you're having so much fun, I'm literally, social media is fake, like we all been know this, like everything about my Instagram, my main one, it's not fake, like yeah I'm having fun or whatever, but like what's going on in my brain, madness is going on up there. I literally look so like presentable and like, yeah girl, having the time of my life because I'm having a good time, but in my brain there's chaos, there's a fire burning in there, you know, it's like the fucking burning bush. But I've just been going through it bad, hella bad, and I try to put this shit out, and like it's the way I want to trauma dump on y'all and be one of those people, but I'm not, because I feel like I was more open in telling you a lot of like personal shit with me, like breaking that fucking fourth wall and like really feeding into the parasocial relationship that, you know, like I'm not a celebrity, but like people have when they have like podcasts and stuff, like being like, oh my god, you know me, you're my friend, you know, like that type. And I used to really be like that in the past with Unravel Narrator when we were still on Usually Radio. I feel like I really shared a lot about myself, which I don't regret. But, you know, I had ops. And truthfully, if you wondered why, like in the past, I used to have a Google Drive of all the episodes because Spotify caught me using music. Yeah, we used to be a radio show, y'all. There used to be music and it used to be so fucking good. But now I have the Unravel Narrator .mp3. Instagram, where I put y'all onto new music there because I can't fucking show it here because Spotify got me. But yeah, I had this Google Drive full of all the episodes, and again I had ops, so that I had to just remove all that. I had to remove it all because people wanted to talk shit, and I'm just like, okay. So there's now like I can't fully express myself, not, I still can, but not in like grave detail as I did in the past, just because I can't really talk about certain people anymore, but that's fine. Or like certain things pertaining to certain people anyways, but it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. But this episode took 500 million years. We all been new. I really did think of quitting this shit because I was just like, oh, I'm not well. Am I well now? I'm doing a little bit better. Was this a hard week? Yes. Like it was extremely hard. But one thing that, like, it just goes into this episode and why this episode is so important is the one thing that really got me through the past couple of months, and honestly just my life period, has been my friends. I am extremely grateful for the friends I have in my life because I genuinely love them so much. I love them with every ounce of my being. Like, I'm just talking about people who are my friends, my best friends, my close friends, like people I've just met throughout my years of living, going to school, going to jobs or whatever. They have been the best people ever and have seen me for who I really am versus what people like to think I am. And it's just like such a breath of fresh air. Yeah, we go. There we go. And again, like these past couple months have just been so ass, but my friends, whether they knew what I was going through or not, have just held it down for me, like truly and honestly. And I cannot thank them enough. And like this episode really goes out to my friends. If I ever called you a friend, this is for you, mama. Like this is for you, because again, like I feel like I have so much love to give. So I really, when I become friends with someone, I really invest a lot of time and effort into it, because I just like, I love people. I have so much love to give, but I'm very picky on who I give that love to. And yeah, sometimes I do be making people feel really comfortable with me, but in reality I'm like, if I don't really share a lot about myself with you, that really means that, like, this is a very one-sided relationship. Like, I'm just really nice and I love to listen to people. So y'all gotta pick up on that, 'cause I've had people really think that we're really close friends, and I didn't say nothing or do anything to make them think that way. They just think because I'm hella nice that I'm like, oh my god, that person's my really good friend. Eleanor's my really good friend. And I'm like, you don't even know what my birthday is. Like, you don't even know how to spell my name. Like, be fucking for real, dude. So this episode goes out to all my friends. I love you fucking down. Y'all have been there for me through thick and thin. And we're also gonna talk about friendships, like quality of friendships and like falling out. Because in, like, growing up, I always felt very like insecure in my friendships, because I always felt like people hated me on the low, even though that wasn't true. So I always felt like I had to prove something to people or be like perfect all the time for my friends. And like that meant like if someone bothered me or someone said something that I didn't like, I would just like keep my mouth shut. And you learn like that's not really a friend. Like if you can't really talk to someone about how you're feeling or how they made you feel without them getting hella defensive and rude about it, then like is that really your friend? Is that your op? That's your enemy. Like what? And for me, my bestest friend, the person that I've been friends with the longest, like we've been friends since we were like 12, 13 years old. We met in middle school, has been my best friend, Isabel. She's one of those people where, like, if you ever meet her or met her, like from my, like, of my other friends, you are very lucky, because I don't bring her around to just anybody, nor does she meet just anybody, to be honest, because she's just like that special to me. And our relationship is one that's just very funny, because we didn't, like, when we became friends, we weren't like the closest. Like, we would always like hang out and talk and like do all that stuff, but like we didn't like text every day or hang out every day and things like that. Like, we would hang out at school and talk at school and whatever, but like her and I just got each other so fast. And I think that's what kept us together throughout middle school and high school. 'Cause you know, like in middle school and high school, you have these big groups. Like, honestly, at the end of the day, it was just like me and Isabel, like leaving high school and things like that. It was just me and Isabel. And one thing that I really appreciate about Isabel is like, Isabel's one of those people where she just gives me honest and tough love. Like, especially, and you might hear this next part and be like, oh, that was rude as fuck. You gotta understand, like, her and I's friendship, like, if anyone else said the things that Isabel says to me, I'd be like, fuck you, get out of my face. I don't wanna be friends with you anymore. But because Isabel and I have, like, this relationship and a friendship that girl, we've been through it thick and thin. And every single time, we come out on top and even better. So that's why it's like, if it comes from her, I know her so well and she knows me so well that like it's okay, or like, oh, I know we're gonna work it out. And what I'm gonna talk about is like when I was in high school, if you were an unreliable narrator, Stan, or a fan, you know, like in the past I've spoken about this. Like, I've always had a hard time with food and like eating and all that stuff. But in high school, it was like peak. It was hella bad. I was like eating like a bag of hot Cheetos a day. Like, that's all I would eat. And like an Arizona iced tea from CVS. Like, that's all I would eat. And like in PE, I was notorious, y'all. Like, I would always excuse myself to go to the bathroom and I would faint in the bathroom. And like, I would always happen. I remember it was just like tryouts for softball one year and I straight up fainted like hella bad. And like, they benched me for the rest of the tryouts. And she was like, did you eat? And I was like, no. She's like, that's your problem. And I was like, well, you could have been nicer about it, lady, but whatever. It's true. That's my problem, because I fucking didn't eat. But I was notorious for doing that shit. And Isabel's probably one of my only friends, maybe one of like three, that knew I had this big problem of like eating. I would have lunch with other people, but I don't think they realized like I never ate, because sometimes people are just preoccupied in their own world. But her, whenever I had lunch with her, I would have lunch with her like once a week, because Isabel was a social butterfly in high school. I wasn't. I didn't talk to anybody. So I only had like one other person to have lunch with every single day. And while she would have lunch with like different people every day. So I would have lunch with her on like Tuesdays. And every Tuesday, I had to make sure I either bought something in the cafeteria or I brought something, because Isabel would straight up tell me, like, I'm not gonna eat lunch with you if you don't eat. Like, she would hella get mad at me if I brought nothing to eat, because she was like, I'm gonna leave. Like, you can sit here by yourself, but you need to eat, or I'm not gonna eat lunch with you. And you might think, that's really fucking rude. But this is the thing, like, I needed that. And I'm a very strong personality, and I seem like I can handle my shit and I can handle myself and take care of myself. But when it came to food, I genuinely could not. Like, I really did not take care of myself, nor did I care. While she really looked out for me, and she gave me tough love when I needed it. And that's something like I really needed, and Isabel gave it to me. And that didn't stop there. Like, we went to community college together. Again, this is another thing about Isabel. If anyone else asked me to do this shit, I would not. But because it was Isabel, like, that's my best friend, like, I'm gonna show up. She would always ask me to show up like an hour and a half before I actually had to be in school, like when we're in a community college. And mind you, I had to like commute. Like, I got dropped off at BART, took the train, then took the bus, and then I was at school. And I would do that every single day. And Isabel would be like, "Can you show up like an hour and a half before my class? Because I don't want to be by myself." That was Isabel. And the same thing happened in high school. And she was like, "I don't want to stand by myself in front of this class. Can you stand here with me?" And I'm like, that's what I would do. I would walk her to her class, stand there until she saw someone she knew, and then I would walk to class. So I would be there hella early in the morning sitting with her. And the same thing, she was like, "You have to eat. You have to eat." And this girl eats junk. She eats trash. And she's like this, she stays being a mini ass girl. Like, literally in high school, I would like shove her, like pretending, like playing around with her, and she would like fly and hit the lockers. Like, she would have fly and hit the lockers. So she would be like, she eats trash though. Like, she eats trash, but she's still like, she's just a small mini girl. I'm like, fuck you, Isabel. But she would be like, "Let's eat cup of noodle." And we would eat cup of noodle in the morning, or I'd eat fries in the morning. But we would like, no, but genuinely, we either ate candy, hot chips, or we would eat cup of noodle every single morning when I would sit with her before her class. Yeah, like I would get there hella early. And when I started to drive, I drove there hella early. And sometimes she would text me being hella mad at me that I was like 10 minutes late. And I'm like, sorry, girl, I'm trying to find a parking spot. But that's neither here or there. But like, she's just one of those people, I would do anything for her. Anything for her. Genuinely and honestly. Like, if I had, and I know everyone thinks that I would fight anybody, and I fought people. I've never fought anyone in my life, and I don't like fighting. I am a lover, not a fighter. But if someone challenges me, bet I'm gonna get down. But if she wanted me to fight somebody, I would learn how to fight, and I would get down and fight for her. Because again, like, she weighs a mere feather. Like, do not touch Isabel. Get behind me, Isabel. So that's like our relationship, and our friendship is just like, that bitch is my sister. Like, I love that girl down. And another thing of like why our friendship works, and I think people don't realize, like, this is a good thing. You should be able to have these conversations with your friends, especially a best friend or a close friend. I know a lot of people like don't like confrontation. I'm one of those people. Like, I'm gonna just say it right now. Am I the perfect friend? No. I'm not gonna sit here and say that I'm the most perfect friend. I'm like the greatest friend ever and I do everything right. I don't. I'm a human being and I make mistakes, and sometimes I say things that I shouldn't, or I don't say the things I should. And my friends have clocked me, told me before, because like, I have the tendency, I don't like confrontation majority of the time. I feel like a lot of people that are around me, or I underestimate how much people can take, and I kind of like don't confront people. And I remember my friend Tammy straight up always tells me, like, closed mouths don't get fed. And she's like, "Girl, you can't complain about things if you know you can change them and you choose not to." And I was like, "You're so fucking real, Tammy. Like, let's take Tammy's advice, because closed mouths don't get fed. Like, you can't sit here and complain about a person when in reality you can go and confront them about it." Like, I know confrontation is hella bad, but you know a friend is a true friend if you do confront them about it and they get hella aggressive about it. That's not your friend. That's an enemy. But if they actually want to hear you out and really understand why you feel the way you feel, that's your friend. And that's something Isabel and I like real. I think that's what really got us close, and why we're like, that bitch is my sister, is her and I are very like headstrong. We are very blunt, we're opinionated, and we think we're always right. Like, that's just how we are. And majority of the time, I will say like 98% of the time, we agree. We always agree. We're evil together. We agree all the time. We egg each other on. And what if she sends me something? Like, I'm like, "Oh my God, bitch. Like, I fucking knew it." Or I'd be like, "Oh my God, did you see this?" Like, that's, we're the same person, honestly. And that's what make why we fit together so well. She's the Pauly D to my Vinny. Like, it makes sense. So the Snooki to my JWoww. Yeah, this is all Jersey Shore references, because I stay sending her Jersey Shore edits of them, and I'm like, this is us. So like, we're just like ride or dies when it comes to that. But the other 2%, we disagree. And when we disagree, we hella disagree. We will get into arguments. We will argue in public. We will argue in front of people. We will argue via text. We will argue in the group chat. We will get into it. And we won't stop because, like I said, we're both very like headstrong and we think we're right. But the thing is, like, at the end of the day, once we cool off, we'll go and talk to each other and be like, okay, I understand why you think that way. And she'll be like, I understand why you think that way. We're just gonna agree to disagree. But, like, we never get evil to the point when you start, like, throwing blems at their character. Like, I find that so strange. Like, when you have a disagreement with, a friend, then all of a sudden, they're telling you that you're an ugly piece of shit, that you a broke bitch, and that's why you have eye crusties in your face. Like, they start doing that. Like, they start coming at you personally. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, this has nothing to do with what we're arguing about. Like, we're arguing about how you never pay me gas money. Like, huh? Like, why are you telling me I'm ugly as fuck? Like, that's so confusing. Like, see, but there's people like that. There's people who honestly would just come for your character immediately when you have something like so small. Like, let's make it like, I don't have this problem with my friends. Like, in the Bay, like, we don't have this problem, but I know I heard a lot and I've experienced it. Like, when I wasn't out in LA, people having a car was such a like luxury, having a car. And people would take advantage of that. I feel like I've spoken about this before, maybe in passing. People take advantage of that, like have you having a car and stuff. And they'll be like, oh, let's go here, let's go there. Like, can you drive me here? Or can you drop me off here? Like, and you're like, oh, yeah, hey, like, of course. But this is my thing with my friends up here in the Bay. Like, it's like, you buy me food, I buy you food. I drive, you drive. Or like, if I drive, you buy my food for the day. It's like that. Like, I never have to like be like, you have to Venmo me gas money, or you have to Zelle me gas money, or Cash App, or whatever you use. So when I was like out in LA, like a lot of my friends, we did this transactional thing, like, oh, if I drive, you're just gonna buy me food. If you drive, I'll buy you food, or like you send me gas money, like we'll do it like that. But then there's some people who try to be sneaky bitches and they don't try to side you any money ever, or try to like compensate you in any way. Like, I remember, like, I would drive and I would think that people would pay for my parking. Never pay for my parking. I'm like, you're fake as fuck. So like, we had that problem and I confronted you about it and you started coming for like my character and coming like grabbing shit out of thin air just because you're mad that I'm confronting you about this problem. That's weird. That's so fucking weird. And if people do that to you, that is not your friend. That is your op. They're plotting on your downfall on the low, because if they got that shit locked and loaded in their brain for when you're like, hey man, I don't like how you treated me today, they're like, you're fucking ugly, you suck, like no one's ever gonna love you. Like, oh my god, you guys, like, they're sitting on those things, they're waiting to tell you that shit. Like, run away. But see, me and Isabel, never, we don't do that shit ever. Like, we will honestly argue. And did she tell me to rot in hell once? Yes she did. If anyone else told me that, I would be like, fuck you, kick you to the curb, goodbye. But when Isabel did that, I laughed in her face. Like, rot in hell, baby. I'ma see you there. Okay? We gonna be in the same fucking place, rotting in hell together. But shit like that, it makes me laugh. Because it's like, people might see Isabel's eyes, like, friendship, as like, oh, that's not good or whatever. And I'm like, no, it's strong as shit. We all lock for life. Period. For real. We're too intertwined to, like be separated and be broken apart, like, honestly. And whatever hurts her hurts me. Like, I remember she told me about these people that really misunderstood her and made her cry and made her so upset. I went to sleep so fucking mad, because she's one of those people that really wears her heart on her sleeve and is extremely honest. And I hate how people just like are not used to people being honest. And they're just like, oh, you're lying to yourself. Or like, oh, I have to be right type of B. And I'm like, why can't you just let people live? How about that? But it's the same with, like, I have had a really rough week this week. And Isabel knew. And I told her I wanted to be alone. But this girl, of course, popped up at my house, bringing me a little care package with my crumble cookies and my chips and my candy. And she spent time with me and made me laugh and made me feel like I wasn't crazy. And it's like things like that that make me feel so special and so grateful to have her in my life. Because I feel like my friends have made me truly understand what, like, love is. Maybe, like, not a romantic love, but platonic. I honestly, personally, I put platonic love before, like, romantic love. Because just, like, platonic love is something so beautiful, because you genuinely don't get anything, like physical or, like, even, like monetary. Like, you don't have to give anything to this person besides a friendship. And the fact that a friendship could be so strong that, like, you don't even think of needing anything else is insane, because that's how I feel about my friends. Like, my friends are like number one in my life. They give me everything that I have ever wanted and more. They make me feel taken care of, protected, loved. Like, they make me feel seen. And I'm like, what else do I want? Like, do I want this bum ass dude bugging me all every day, wanting attention and shit? No. Maybe I will, maybe in a couple months. We don't know, because it's about to be cuffing season, y'all. Do we want an episode about that? We don't want an episode about that, because if you know my track record from Unreliable Narrator and know the shit that I be into, I'm talking like it's about to be bad looks. But that's a side tangent. It's funny because Isabel's always trying to find me a boyfriend, and I'm like, that guy is scary. Like, scary. Like, leave me alone. I remember once, oh my god, y'all, this is gonna be a hella side tangent. And this goes for another thing. If someone else did this shit to me, I'd be hella mad. So Isabel used to work at Lowe's when she was in nursing school. And I think there was like a solar panel like rep dude at Lowe's. And she was like, oh my god, this is my friend, me. Instagram, you should hit her up. She doesn't tell me this, mind you. She doesn't tell me this until 2 weeks later from that initial time, because that's what I heard. I get this follow from this dude, and I'm like, who the fuck is this? And I'm like freaking out, because I'm like, who the hell is this? But Isabel follows him. So I'm like, Isabel, who the fuck is this? And she's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. I gave him your Instagram. I said, when? And why didn't you tell me? She's like, oh, I gave it to him like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, what is wrong with you, girl? Like, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, if this was anybody else, I'd be so pressed. But because it's her, I thought it was so funny. I did not follow that man back. But I think he still follows me to this day. I see him once in a while, like my shit. And I'm like, hello, leave me alone, please. Another, like, literally just 2 weeks ago, she was out here trying to give my Instagram to this other man at Lowe's. Stop! Stop! And I was out here complaining to her sister, being like, tell your sister to stop this shit. She's showing people my Instagram, like, let her leave me alone. And I think she was trying to, the guy that she was showing it to got hella serious about it, and she was like, oh, this was a mistake. And I'm like, yeah, girl, it was a mistake. Stop showing these men my shit. Leave it alone. But yeah, she's just like that type of person. Like, I appreciate it. I appreciate her trying to let me find some love, but, like, not in fucking Lowe's, dude. Like, stop. Please. Anyways. But, yeah, that's my best friend, Isabel. If you've ever met her, you're so lucky, because she doesn't, like, meet everybody, because, I don't know. I'm personally, like, I really don't mix my friends, except for the friends I made in high school, because they already knew each other, so it's, like, it's fine if we're all together, because we used to be in classes all together, but I really don't mix my friends. Like, that's just how I feel, because like the vibe just, it's just different. And if I really know that the vibe's gonna be fine, then yeah, I will mix it, but usually nah, like I won't. But now, like, I just also want to like emphasize, I know like this next part, like I'm gonna talk my shit, but I just want to say, like, I'm not the perfect friend. I have made mistakes, and I will own up to it, acknowledge it. Like, I'm not the perfect person. I am human. But I'm not one of those people that is going to be like, oh, I'm not to blame. Because, like, girl, like, I am to blame sometimes. Like, it's true. And I'm never going to invalidate someone's feelings if they felt some type of way about me. That's how they feel. Like, I'm not going to tell them, no, you don't feel like that. Like, that's weird. But this next part, I'm going to talk about falling out. See, like, when I was a kid, I was so precise and, like, so, like, I chose my friends very precisely. Like, I was telling my coworkers when I used to work at the agency, like, my friend Mackenzie, my friend Tyler, my friend Alex, I remember seeing them on the Zoom and being like, oh, those girls, I want to be friends with them. And I became friends with them later on. And I was like, y'all don't understand. Like, I was plotting on y'all. Like, I wanted to be y'all's friends so bad when I saw y'all on Zoom. And because, like, I just don't trust people. So I really just scope out everyone and, like, stalk like a weirdo. And I'm like, oh, you're good. Like, I want to be your friends, because I'm very, like, picky. I don't trust everybody, and I don't want to bring everyone into my space, into my life, into my world that I can't trust. Because you're going to learn, you can't trust bitches. And I've made that mistake. Okay, this person that I'm about to talk about, she was my best friend. And it's like a complicated story, but I'm not, like, if you know me personally, you would understand what I'm talking about. But, like, again, like, I'm not going to get really personal into it just because of, like, I don't fuck with this person. Period, point blank. And I remember the other two episodes I recorded of this, You Want to Be My BFF, I think this is what this episode is called. I swear, I don't even remember, because it's been so long. I whenever I talk about her, I try not to be mean. But it's like, I don't know why I care so much, because this girl straight up is a stranger to me. And the only reason I'm going to say this is because I think it's important to talk about, because falling outs do happen. And as someone who tried to avoid them at all costs, like, sometimes enough is enough. Enough is enough. And sometimes you don't need to be friends with people you thought you were going to be best friends for life anymore. Like, that's just how it is. But me and this girl, oh, I don't even know what to call her. What should we call her, y'all? I'll call her Samantha. I'll call her Samantha because I don't really know Samantha's. I only know one, but I call her Sam. But I'm going to call her Samantha. So me and Samantha were best friends, like stuck to the hip, her and I against the world. Okay, we met when we were like 13 in middle school, and we just got along so well. And she basically like her, she was like my sister. Like, she saw me for who I really was and was just there for me through thick and thin, through my worst times in middle school and high school. And she was just there for me. And we hung out all the time. We had sleepovers all the time. She was for real like my sister. And we had inside jokes. And we would always talk about how we would live in the same neighborhood. Our kids would be friends. And we would grow old together, sitting on our porch in our Adidas tracksuits, like rocking back and forth in our rocking chair. Like, we would talk about this like so much. And that's because we were so close. But one day, like, something happened. Not one day. Things started changing with Samantha, and I was like, her character started shifting. She started becoming a person that I was like, I don't recognize this girl. And she's becoming a person that, like, I didn't really tolerate her behavior. Like, I'm like, girl, like, we don't like people like the way you're behaving right now. Like, we don't like people like that. Like, I don't know why you're behaving this way. And I remember I would bring it up to her and be like, oh, I don't think that's nice of you to say like this. Like, how about think about it this way? And she would agree with me, but like, again, she would continue to behave in the same way. And I'm not saying like I was gonna try to change her, but it's like, I didn't like the path that she was going. And I was just like checking, I'm like, girl, are you good? Like, are you happy where you're going? Because like, you're veering off where, like, you're veering from what we always said we were gonna do and be, and like our morals and all that shit. Like, you're really acting out of character, at least to me. I remember I asked our other friends, I'm like, isn't Samantha acting weird? And everyone agreed. So I was like, okay, like, this is strange, but I'm gonna give it some time. And then something happened. Samantha got a boyfriend. And I think a lot of people can like relate to this. When she got a boyfriend, I was super happy for her. Like, I was like, oh, chill, cool. I remember she really wanted me to meet him. I met him. He wasn't much of a talker, so I didn't really get much out of him. But I was like, all right, I don't gotta be, that's not my boyfriend, so I don't care. But then I started realizing our friendship, like, changed. Because all Samantha talked about was her boyfriend. All Samantha wanted to talk about was her boyfriend, her relationship, and anything in regards to that. She never asked me how I was. She never asked, like, whenever we hung out, it was just about Samantha's boyfriend. And when she would sleep over at my house or come over to my house, it was because she needed somewhere to stay at before she went to her boyfriend's. Or because, like, before she could sleep over at her boyfriend, she would just come to my house and sleep over here. So I'd have to be awake till 1 o'clock in the morning waiting for her ass to come to my house after she would hang out with her boyfriend. Like, that's how our friendship would be. She would spend an hour with me and be like, okay, bye, my boyfriend's out of work now, so I'm gonna go over. Like, that's literally what would happen. And I remember, like, I think I lasted, like, a year dealing with this and, like, being around this. And I would talk to our other friends and be like, dude, like, I don't understand, like, what is she doing? Because we would always talk about, like, if we got a significant other, if we got a boyfriend, like, we would never let the other one down. Like, we would always spend time with one another. And it wasn't like I was jealous, but I was like, girl, you're kicking me to the fucking curb. Like, you're literally using me as, like, a hostel. Like, you just dip in here when you need it and you leave to go to your boyfriend. Like, that's weird. And me and Samantha are so close. I never wanted to confront her about this. I just thought, like, maybe, like, she would, like, wake up one day and realize, like, how badly she was, like, how bad of a friend she was being this past year. And that day never came. It just got worse and worse and worse. So then, I shouldn't have done it this way. I really should have went to her in person and spoke to her in person. But, like, again, like I told y'all, I don't like confrontation. So, of course, I wrote a whole text out explaining how we need to really distance ourselves, like, how I can't recognize her. I wish I really told her how I felt. I kind of was, like, running around what I really wanted to say because I just didn't want to hurt her feelings. And I told her, I was like, I have love for you still. Whenever you need me, you can always come to me, but right now I need my distance. That was basically the moral of the story. And she texted me back, I understand. But then I find out this girl did not understand, because then she started running her mouth and talking badly about me and letting other people talk hella bad about me. And she just started talking to people that didn't even know me, like people she just met like that year or that those past couple of months. And she just let these people talk hella mad shit about me. And mind you, after I sent this message, I remember crying and talking to my friends and my other friends, and my other friends being like, yeah, fuck that girl. Like, who cares about that girl? You have us. And I was like, no, you guys don't say that about her. Like, I was out here defending her while she let people who didn't even know me, never met me, know nothing, talk so bad about me. So bad. And she thought I wouldn't find out. And I found out so fast, y'all. Like, I found out so fast. And I thought it was so crazy how fast she would change up on me. When, mind you, I've showed her so much love. So much love, like a sister. She was like a sister to me, y'all. And I don't use that, like, term lightly when it comes to, like, you're, like, she was like a sister to me because I have my own sister. No, like, she was like a sister to me. My parents knew how much she meant to me. Like, that was their kid, too. They always looked out for her. They always asked about her. They took care of her. I took care of her, like, in the same likewise. And I just could not believe that she would switch up on me so fast. And I remember for, like, for a little bit, I would cry. I cried about it. I was like, I'm so sad. Like, my best friend is like, I don't know what's going on. And you might be asking, like, telling yourself, like, Eleanor, you asked for this. You sent the text. And I was like, yes, but I didn't anticipate it to be like this. Like, she said she, quote unquote, understood. If she didn't understand where I was coming from, she could have said something, but she didn't. But that's fine. So I gave her that week, and she never spoke to me again about that. But she kept running her mouth to other people. So I was like, you know what? I don't fuck with that. And bringing back Tammy, because Tammy always gives me tough love. If you don't know who Tammy is, Tammy was my freshman roommate when we lived in a triple at San Jose State. And that girl, I love down. I love Tammy down because she really, like, opened my eyes, like, to a world that I didn't know. And she, like, really, like, helped me grow into the person I am today. I have a lot about Tammy that I love. And maybe one of these days she'll be on a podcast. We'll see. But Tammy, I was, like, walking my cousin's dog with Tammy because I was taking care of a dog. And Tammy was like, you know what? You should pull up on her. You should pull up on her. Wherever she stays at, you should pull up on her and confront her and talk to her. And I was like, no, Tammy. Like, I'm so scared. Like, I don't want to do that. She's like, no, girl. Like, it's gone to this point that she keeps talking about you. You need to pull up on her. And I was like, you know what? You're right. So then I found out where she was at through our other friends, like our mutual friends. I pull up on her. I'm like, girl, I'm outside. Like, come outside. So we go outside. We park in a parking lot at a park. And I just tell her how I felt, like, truly, like, what that text meant. And I was crying. And then I got really emotional. And I shouldn't have said what I did. I said, like, I don't imagine a world without her. Like, I was like, girl, like, I cannot imagine a world without you. You're my best friend. Like, I'd rather just, like, disappear, you know, like, cease to exist if you're not going to be in my world. And I was like, and I remember I said that. I was like, you know what? Let me take that back because that's a lot of weight on you. Like, that's really rude for me to be like, I don't want to exist if you're not in my, you're not my friend. Because that's, like, a lot to put onto somebody. So I was like, you know what? I'm sorry I said that. Like, I take that back. But I just want you to know, like, you mean so much to me. And, like, I didn't say this to be mean or rude, but I wanted to tell you how I feel. Because I feel like I am literally just pushed to the fucking side. And, like, you don't care about being my friend anymore. That all you really do care about is having a boyfriend. And that at the end of the day, like, you don't care about me, period. And that I was just a placeholder until you got a boyfriend and now you good. And that's how I felt. I was like, girl, what the fuck? And I think, like, an hour into, like, me explaining us, like, kind of, like, her, she didn't really talk at the beginning because I had to explain myself. She would, like, answer me and then, like a sentence or two, and then we would go back and forth. But when she had her piece, I immediately knew, nah, this girl don't, like, she gone. Like, the Samantha I knew, the Samantha I grew up with, the girl that I called my best friend, my sister, that I spent every birthday with, every summer we would hang out before she, like, went off to, like, her summer vacation shit, like, who I spent every single day in high school with, middle school with, literally after prom with, like, I don't know, like, that bitch is gone. Like, she's gone. And she, like, and I wasn't going to sit here and try to convince her who she was becoming was wrong, because that's not my job. I told her how I felt, and honestly, she, like, it honestly felt like she didn't give a shit. Like, she didn't give a shit. She kind of took it, I was like, oh, but that's how you feel. Like, that's not what I meant, but that's how you feel, though. That's just how you feel. And I was like, damn, like, and mind you, I cried in front of her. And if you know me, I don't fucking cry. I don't like crying in front of other people. Like, I do cry, but I don't like crying in front of other people. So if I cry in front of you, it either means, like, you're my family or I really trust you. And she saw me crying. She just didn't give a fuck. And after that, I was like, oh, heard. Like, I don't give a fuck about you. I was like, I don't know who the fuck this bitch is. And this girl is not my friend. And I remember dropping her off and saying bye to her, driving, like, down the block, calling Isabel. And being like, Isabel, I'm not that girl's friend anymore, period. And Isabel's like, what happened? And I was like, I'll tell you later. But that girl is dead to me. I don't know that girl. Like, I don't know her. She is not my friend. I'm never talking to her again. And that, it was true. I never talked to her again. The only times I ever talked to her is when she hit me up. I remember she hit me up like during COVID, thanking me for something. And then I heard through the grapevine this girl was trying to get in contact with me a couple of months earlier this year, like a couple of months ago, earlier this year. I heard she wanted to get in contact with me and talk to me about what happened. Mind you, this happened like 2021, y'all. 2021. And I'm or 2020 or 2021, I don't remember quite, sorry. But I was like, girl, I haven't, and mind you, I remember when I was like done being her friend, I always thought like, oh, maybe I'm gonna like feel such a huge loss in my life. And personally and honestly speaking, I did not. I realized that I had such good friends around me, and I like that around me that would never do that shit to me. Because it like through thick and thin, we've argued, we've talked or whatever. And when I tell them like, yo, I feel this way, you made me feel this way, they've never talked to me the way she did or looked at me the way she did. And the same like when people tell me that I've hurt their feelings, like I never treated them the way that she treated me that time in that car. And I was like, damn, like, you know what? I don't care because I have these beautiful friends around me that love me down and would not just disregard my feelings just because they love their boyfriend so much. She just loves her boyfriend so much. And I'm like, I've known you literally like half of our lives, girl, and you're treating me like this? That's crazy. So that really, no love lost. She did try to hit, like reach out to me. We kind of went back and forth in the text being like, oh yeah, we'll meet up. It didn't pan out, and I honestly at the end of the day I told her, I was like, you're a stranger to me. Anything you have to say, honestly, like you can keep that to yourself because I don't need to hear anything. I moved past it. If you want to apologize or anything, like it's nothing for me, that's for you. Like I'm glad you came to terms with whatever happened, but like I don't need to talk to you. She kept saying, she's like, I'm the same person, I'm the same person. I'm like, no, the person I met in that car, that was a stranger, straight up. Like after like I spoke to you for a little bit, like you weren't someone I knew, period. Also apologies if you hear background noises, people are moving around in the house. And now, honestly, let me pause real quick because my mom is yapping. Sorry for that. Sorry for the pause. Sorry, America. But yeah, I don't know. That was just one of those like little falling outs that honestly, that one till this day, I just think it's so silly because did my life get worse? No. Did it get better? Yeah. Did it get better because I stopped being her friend? No. But it just like I met more people and I met better people that would never do what she did to me. And honestly, we're in the mad ethnic household. Like I'm just not gonna pause anymore because everyone's hooting and hollering in the living room, acting like I'm not recording in my bedroom. Come on. But damn, they really, if you hear a woman or like a sink or anybody, just know my mom is just there, just having a riot in the kitchen. So I'm gonna let her live. Honestly, am I gonna let her live? Because she's kind of freaking loud. Anyways, I'm gonna let her live. This is her house. I'm in her area. But the second falling out I ever had was more recent. And it happened between me and this girl. What should we call her? What should we call her? What should we call her? Y'all, I'm what should we call her, y'all? I'll call her Haley because I can't think of any other girl names, and we'll just call her Haley. So me and Haley, we met via Zoom because we both were transferring to UCLA, and we just like hit it off. We were really great pals online, and then we met in real life, and we just really clicked. We went to every party together, we pre-gamed together, like it was just so fun. Me and Haley were like this, and when I got into nail art and doing like do my own press-ons, me and Haley would be in my apartment like making our own press-ons. And I just like, me and Haley were like two peas in a pod. But I think like towards the second part of the year, like when I was about to graduate, I could see Haley be more involved in her major and like the people she's made friends with in her within her major. So I kind of backed off and I was like, oh, it's okay. Like she gets to hang out with these people that like she could relate to more academically and like whatchamacallit? Creatively. Creatively? Yes. Yes, we're just gonna say I pronounced that right. Because I was a social major, so I was like not doing what she was doing. And this is a part of me that I really need to stop doing because I don't like, I kind of think I feel like I can read people's minds. And I was like, oh, she's fine. Like, she's hanging out with these people and having fun with these people. Like, she doesn't need me. Not in the way of like, oh, she doesn't need me. Like, oh, like she's okay. Like, she's fine. She's having fun. Like, I'm not gonna bother her. and be like, hang out with me, Ailey, like, hang out with me, like, you know, I'm not gonna do that. When in reality, I should have still reached out to her, hung out, and like did all the things we used to do still, because I feel like that put a strain on our friendship and made her really think that I didn't care about her and I valued all the other people more than her. When in reality, I was just like, it's okay, like, she has other friends, like, I'll let her hang out with her other friends. And I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have like read her mind, quote unquote, read her mind, and like that's what she wanted, because that's not what she wanted. And shit happened. And I was still living in LA. I moved apartments. This is when I started living with Grace. I get like a text like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't read it until later on. I read it in the morning and it's from Haley being like, hey, I did soft block you on everything. And I was just like, oh shit. Cause I low key peeped that, but I was just like, oh, like, I don't know what happened, but yeah. So I was like, oh yeah, like, I peeped that. And she was just like, yeah, like, I just really can't see your posts and your stuff. It just like really hurts me because I feel like we drifted apart and you wanted to hang out with other people more than me. And I was just like, damn, like, Eleanor, you fucking stupid bitch. Like, that's like, you have to deal with the consequences now of your actions because of me trying to think, like, thinking that I could read people's minds and me thinking that I'm doing the right thing when I'm not, when I should have been reaching out to people. And that's a thing, like, that's a big thing that my friends have like clocked me about. Like, I don't reach out to people. I don't make plans. I always say yes to plans. So everyone just like always asks me to hang out because I always say yes, but I'm never the one to really initiate plans. It's honestly just because like I have trauma when it comes to like thinking that people secretly hate me. I talk about this a lot. I'm going to therapy for it. Trust y'all. Like, I'm gonna get better. I tell my friends all the time. Like, I need to work through that because I don't reach out to people because I think people secretly hate me or they're just living life better without me. Like, it's just a bad mentality. So that's what she told me, and I just felt hella bad. And I remember we went back and forth talking about it because I was like, oh, but I also thought like you didn't care to hang out with me either because you never really asked me to hang out either. And it was just like both of us, it was just like a communication thing and just like a life, like we were just not in the same place anymore. And it was just like she was better off just like having me completely like gone from her life. And I know that really hurt me because I didn't want it to be that way. And I just wish like we could have worked it out. And I remember like what makes me so sad is like when Brat came out and Girl So Confusing came out with Lord, the remix, I immediately thought of her and I wanted to text her. But then I was like, I don't want to because I don't want my presence to like make her feel some type of way because she looks really like happy and at peace because we have mutuals still on social media. So I see her once in a while and she looks extremely happy and like where she wants to be. So like, I don't want to fuck with that. But I was just like, when I heard Girl So Confusing with Lord, I was like, bitch, this is us. Like, we could have really worked it out in the remix. Like, if I just fucking spoke. But like, you know, c'est la vie, like things happen, so be it. But that's just like one of them, like one of the falling outs that actually like, like it hurts. Cause I think about like things that she showed me, and she was just like one of those people that she had such a positive impact on my life. And she was just someone I could always talk to and like ask questions to. And she never like ridiculed me or judged me. She just like shared so much knowledge with me. And like, there's something that I hold so close to my heart, like always until this day. And like still is like when I graduated, I remember telling her how scared I was and how nervous I was to like graduate and go into the real world because I felt like people expected a lot from me. And she was like, anything that you do is going to be cool because it's you doing it. Like, that's it. Like, that's all you have to remember, that anything you end up doing after college or in life is going to be cool because it's you. And I just remember her saying that to me, and it meant so much to me, and it still means so much to me to this day. And it sucks that we're not friends, but it makes me happy seeing that she has such a great group of friends around her that love and support her, because that's all she really deserves. See how this falling out is way different than the other one, because I'm like, I don't give a fuck about that bitch. That bitch a stranger to me. Like, get away from me. Versus this girl, I'm like, you know what? There's still some sort of love there for her. And I told her, my last text to her was like, I'll always support you and I'll always be your fan. Like, I loved her art. Like, I love her art, period, down. And just knowing that she's creating somewhere in this world makes me extremely happy, because that's something that she was meant to do. And wherever she is, I hope she's happy, genuinely and honestly. But yeah, like, falling out suck, you guys. You might have like the falling out that I had with Miss Samantha, or like falling out with Haley. Like, that shit is sad, and like Miss Samantha is fucking whatever, but Haley, that shit hurt me in my soul. But you know, like, I've always had like a good group of people around me to really uplift me during these times and really show me that they're there. I remember for Grace, like, my roommate Grace during this time was really there for me. She really validated my feelings and was just like a really, she was my rock, honestly. She was my rock throughout my second year living in LA. Like, Sonia, people who were listening when I still had music, you've met Sonia. Sonia was my senior year roommate when I lived in Westwood going to UCLA. Still, Sonia was my roommate, and I've known Sonia since she was like a freshman and I was a sophomore in high school, and she was my rock. But then when I moved out and I moved in with Grace, Grace was my rock. And I, like, Grace just, we knew each other, we could see each other without saying anything, and we would spend, like, we wouldn't really get deep, like, we would talk, we'd have fun, but once in a while we would sit on our couch and then we would just like talk hella about what's been going on the past weeks or past month. And Grace was just somebody, like, she could pick up what I was putting down. I remember I had, in my second year in LA, I had a really, really hard time. Like, honestly, just, like, moving back down, it just started off hella bad. And Grace just knew. And I had this habit, for, like, all the time I lived in LA, the 2 years. I would, like, run away to the Walmart in, where was that shit? In Burbank. I'd run away to that Walmart in Burbank. Because, like, I always wanted to go somewhere no one knew me or I didn't see anyone who was familiar. Like, I could have ran away to the Target in Westwood, but that, like, you're going to see, like, people in your class. Like, I don't want to be there. And it's just, like, the Walmart was just way bigger. And I would just, like, drive out there, buy nothing. And I would just, like, walk through the aisles. I would just walk in there for, like, an hour and a half and then drive back to the apartment. And I remember once, like, Grace was, like, coming back from somewhere with our friends, and I was, like, leaving, and they were like, oh, where are you going? And I was like, oh, I'm going to the store. Like, I'm going to the store. And I, like, leave, and I remember, like, driving there, and I get to Walmart, and Grace texts me. She's like, I know you're at Walmart. I hope you're doing okay. And I was like, oh, like, this, I started crying in the fucking Walmart because I was having a horrible day, horrible, horrible, horrible day. And I just, like, needed to run away. And, like, I got there, like, an hour before they closed, and I just spent the whole time there before they closed. And I got back, and Grace was like, yeah, like, I saw you were there, and, like, everyone else, like, saw your location that you were there, but it didn't seem like anything was out of the ordinary to them. But I know when you go there, something's up. And I was like, yeah, something's up, girl. And I just, like, told her. But Grace is, like, one of those people, like, I don't have to say anything, but she'll know. But she'll know. And, like, I appreciated her so, I still do to this day. I appreciate her so much because I feel like she's, like, one of those people that you meet. Like, I really needed to meet her during, like, my, like, early 20s. I feel like we needed to meet each other because she was just, like, my rock. She was someone that I could confide in, who didn't judge me, who just listened to me and didn't expect anything from me. And that was, like, something that I really struggled with because I always felt like people always wanted something from me, whether it be my energy or my services. Like, they just wanted something from me. While Grace didn't care. Grace and I could just be homebodies and make IKEA furniture all night and we would be happy. Like, that's all we would do. And she's just someone I'm very grateful for and that I miss so much. Like, I miss her so much and I wish I was rich and famous so I could fly down to San Diego all the time or I can fly her up to the Bay so we can hang out all the time and have sleepovers. But it's just, like, friendships like that, like, friendships that you didn't know were gonna happen. Like, I talked about them a little bit earlier in this episode. Like, the friends I made at work when I worked out at, like, the agency in LA, like, I never thought I would get that close to people or really just genuinely, like, love these people until I did. Like, oh my God, like, I didn't want to quit that job, a little part because I wanted to stay with my friends. I loved going to work just to see them, to shoot the shit, to laugh. And, like, they saw me at my lowest points, like, genuinely and honestly. Like, I don't think anyone has seen me fucking stress the fuck out. And, like, I remember my friend Alex, I was on this one desk one time. This, I always say this was the worst desk I was ever on because this man was on one. Like, he was just on a, he was a power tripper. Like, he was on a power trip. Like, he never did any fucking work. And all he did was, like, drink scotch all day. Like, fucking bleh. But I remember I came into work and I was, like, shaking like a fucking wet dog. And my friend Alex was, like, not on a desk at the time. She was working in the mailroom and she comes to visit me. She's like, girl, you're shaking like a wet dog. Are you okay? And I'm like, no, this man has me stressed the fuck out. I'm, like, scared because I don't even know when the NDA ends. I don't even know. But, like, I was just, like, scared, nervous, like, I'm stressed out and, like, everything. And she's like, girl, you're gonna be fine. Breathe. Stop shaking. Because a bitch was shaking, y'all. It was, like, I was, like, not well. But, like, they were just, like, my rocks there. They made the time go by fast. They, like, made me actually like going to work because usually I did not want to fucking be there. And they, I don't know, they just, like, made everything so much brighter and nicer and made me, like, loved what we were doing because I genuinely did not care for working. I didn't really care about working there. But they made me, like, actually, like, oh, maybe this isn't so bad. Like, maybe I do want this. But at the end of the day, I was like, oh, no, you guys, like, I need to get the fuck out of here. And they supported me through it. They supported me through it. And, like, if you received a gift from me during my time at the agency, you know I love you down forever, forever. You can always reach out to me and I will be there for you. And that's, like, a lot of, like, my friendships. I think, like, people don't understand, like, if we ever, like, became friends and we didn't leave on, like, a bad note or it was just, like, distance or just, like, life gone the way, like, you could always come back in my life and I would treat you the same as I did when we first met. That's just how I feel personally because I have, like, so much love to give. And the friendships I make are so strategic and I invest a lot in people because I truly believe in you and I truly do love you. And I think people do throw around like best friend and like the word love a lot around with like friendships. But for me, like it means a lot to me. So if I do love you, you know it. You know it because I'm not afraid to show it. But I also am just like so grateful for the friends that I've made along the way. Like there's a lot of people I didn't even think would even want to be my friend. Specifically this person who I'm about to talk about. I met them when they were an intern for UCLA Radio. I was already on like the intern team or whatever when we would train and like mentor the interns or whatever. And this person's name is Damien. He's a loyal ass, unreliable narrator, fan. He's the one that checks me all the time asking me when's the episode gonna come out? When's the episode gonna come out? And all that shit. And I'm like, soon, soon, soon. It's always the same fucking thing. And he always clocks me for it because he's always saying, like, you always say soon. And I'm like, okay, leave me alone. How about that? But he's like one of those people I never thought he would actually like want to be my friend or we would get along. Because my first impression of him was like, he's quiet. He's a man. And he wants nothing to do with me. Because I remember I made Valentine's for the interns and he just like took it and like looked like he didn't even give a shit. And I was just like, wow, like, I put my heart and soul into that shit. Like, you don't care. But I remember, like, we follow all the interns and stuff on social media. And he followed Unreliable Narrator and my other podcast with my friend DJ Hannah, Long Distance. I remember Unreliable Narrator, he would, like, swipe up and be like, yo, I'm trying to be Unreliable Narrator. Let me get that DJ Gas Break dip clout. And I just thought it was so funny. And I was like, I thought about having him on Unreliable Narrator. But the thing was, Unreliable Narrator, it was pre-recorded all the time. So I was like, this is not fun. Because, like, we didn't have a mic during back in the day when I was UCLA Radio. We had the iPad. And we would just record off the iPad with the sound looking kind of janky when it has two people. So I was like, oh, like, you should be on Long Distance. Because Long Distance, we did it live in the station. So me and DJ Hannah, we invited him to be on Long Distance. But that day, I think DJ Hannah got COVID, so she couldn't go into the station, and I was hella scared, because me and Damien never spoke in real life, like, never spoke in real life. It was always in the DMs of him being like, yo, I'm trying to get that clout, and I was like, oh my god, I'm so scared, because first, when during his intern quarter, he looked like he did not want to be my friend or even talk to me. Second, he's a man. I'm scared, because I, like, during this time, I didn't have a lot of guy friends, just because, like, men just be disappointing me, like, ugh, get away from me. But nowadays I have like 5 really good guy friends and I'm very grateful for them all, and Damien is one of them. Because after, like, I remember Damien coming to the station, we took like promo pictures and he was just like super duper chill, very easy to talk to. I remember my friend Mia was like, girl, like, he's not weird, like, he's very nice. I always thought that you guys would hit it off. And I was just like, girl, I don't believe you, he's scared of me. And then we were in the booth, y'all. That was, like, my favorite episode. One of my, like, that I've ever made, to be honest. And it sucks because it was live, so you had to be there to listen to it. But mind you, I don't even, hella people tune the fuck into that episode, which is hilarious. Because I remember when we were done recording it, I got hella texts. Hella people in real life told me how funny we were. And I always tell him, like, I need him back on the podcast. But he lives all the way in fucking Culver City, bitch. But he's works at Live Nation, man, is making money and living his dream, so I can't be mad. I'm proud of him. But that episode was just so fucking funny, because we would have guests on Long Distance and we'd always be like, what's your first impression of us? And like my first impression that everyone tells me is the same shit. Oh, you're really intimidating, or you looked really cool. I was really shy to talk to you. It's really just those two things. Like, they just tell me I was scary, I was intimidating. They wanted to be my friend, but I was too scary for them to talk to. And I was just like, damn, like, I tried to be the most like welcoming and very like outgoing person to like not let people be scared of me, because I get that a lot, but like, I can't fucking help it, apparently. And I remember I was like, Damien, what was your first impression of me? And then I'll give yours. And he straight up was like, oh, my first impression of you was you're loud. Like, you're loud as fuck. And I was just like, wow. Oh my God. Like, this man just clocked me. Like, he just read me to filth. Like, this, like, he was not wrong. Like, he was not wrong. Like, I am loud as shit. I've never had anyone tell me that, though. Like, and mind you, this is our first time ever, like, really meeting in real life. And he was like, this man goes, you're loud as shit. Like, oh, okay. And then I told him, I was like, oh, well, like, you look scary as fuck. You look intimidating. I didn't want to be your friend because you scared me, because you're a man. And he was part of, like, I used to make fun of him for this. I assumed this. I didn't even know he was part of, Hermanos Unidos. Is that what it's called? Sorry, Damien, if it's not called that. Sorry. But I used to always be like, oh, you're probably part of that. And he's like, how did you know? And he was. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I was just assuming, because he was Mexican. He was a Mexican man, so I assumed he was part of Hermanos Unidos, and I'm like, sorry, if you say that's profiling, I'm Mexican too! So I assumed that, like, his vibe, I was like, you're probably in that shit, huh? And he was! And I clocked him for it. But that episode was just so fucking funny, like, I need to run it back, because I just need it on tape. I wish I recorded it. I wish we were able to record it in the station, but that shit was so good. That shit was funny. Because we honestly, like, we have really good banter, and we would just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it was just, like, really fun. And we were on the same page, because we, honestly, I think we share the same brain cell when it comes to certain shit. But Damien's just one of those people I never thought I would become friends with, but we are very good friends. We talk very often still. Man, he'd be renaming the group chat to everything. Like, right now, I think it says, we hate Drake, and our profile picture is a dog. Shout out to that dog. I think it's Damien's dog. Is it your dog, Damien? I'm sorry. But Damien's just one of those people that always supports me in my creative endeavors and just believes in me. And he just carries himself very well. He's very kind, and he's like, I don't know, very genuine. And shout out to you, Damien. Thank you so much for always supporting me and being there for me when I'd be like, I'm not there for myself. And especially with the podcast. Damien really pushes me forward with this podcast. He really believes in me, and I really do appreciate it. But yeah, you guys, like, friendship is one of those things that I think, like, there's some people who don't have a lot of friends and people who have friends. Like, I've always had a good handful of friends, and I'm never taking that for granted. But I know people that don't, like have, like, quote-unquote friends, but they don't feel close to anybody. And I know that could feel isolating, and you can feel like, oh, no one likes you, everyone hates you, and, like, that's why you have no friends, or you're unlovable or whatever. And I was like, it's not true, like, but you really got to immerse yourself. Like, I know for me, I made a lot of my friends in my clubs, in my orgs, or at work, you know, like, or when I was in school. Like, I don't meet people off the street, y'all. Like, I'm really bad at talking to strangers like that. So, like, you really gotta immerse yourself in things that, like, you like, to find people who are, like, like-minded, and people with the same morals and things like that. Because I think morals, like, matter a lot to me. Like, people are like, oh, I can be friends with people who have different, like, morals than me, and, like, different views than me. I'm like, for me, everything is basically intertwined. So I feel like I gotta have somebody that's, like, on the same wavelength as me. Like, I can't really be disagreeing with you on shit when it comes to, like, people's livelihood and people's well-being. Like, I can't be friends with you like that. So really just, like, immerse yourselves in, like, those type of, like, environments. I know as you grow older it seems harder, but you really just gotta challenge yourself. Because I know for me, like, I'm really scared to, like, enter new spaces, just because I'm like, everyone thinks I'm super outgoing all the time and, like, super loud and, like, yeah, but I'm genuinely not. I have to be around someone I know to be really, like, outgoing and, like, really assertive and, like, like, oh, I'm good, like, I'm confident or whatever, because I'm really not. Like, it's really just a front, mama. So I just, like, encourage y'all to really challenge yourself. Because, again, like, if you're, like, I'm, like, 25 right now. The more you grow, like, older, the more it's, like, harder for you to find, like, new friends and make new friends. But it's not impossible. You just really got to make yourself uncomfortable. Like, everything, I think the most rewarding things are, like, come from things that are hard. So this is going to be hard for you. Just go ahead and do it.
But yeah, like, I just really hope everyone has, like, you don't need hella friends. Like, you just need a handful. You need one. You just need one good friend to be there for you. Because, again, like, you have family. You have people who are related to you by blood. But there's just something so beautiful about meeting someone from a, like, in, like, from a whole different world. And your lives just becoming intertwined by choice, not by blood. And there's just something poetic and beautiful about it. And I'm just so grateful for my friends. Because again, like, for the past couple of months, I've just been going through it. And not a lot of my friends knew what was happening. Yet they were just there for me in different ways. And I can never, ever thank them enough. And I have so much love for them. And I don't think, like, I think a lot of people think if you extend yourself a lot to other people, you lose parts of yourself. But for me, like, I have so much love to give. I don't lose any of it. I feel like seeing people that I pour into grow and flourish and, like, be happy, I feel like my life just gets better too. And that's why I'm just so happy to have the friends that I do in my life. And I hope that you go hang out with your friends and just tell them how grateful you are for them, because I don't think we realize, like, we choose to be with one another, you guys. We choose every single day to be each other's friends. With family, it's blood, brother. Like, you, that's your sister, that's your auntie, that's your brother, that's your grandma, your grandpa. Like, but for this, like, we choose each other every single day. We choose to keep each other in each other's lives every single day, and that's something beautiful and something to be grateful about. So I really want to thank y'all for tuning in, and thank you for being patient with me. I would love to trauma dump about what's happening to me, but, like, I'm not going to do that to y'all. That was the old unreliable narrator. But yeah, thank you for giving me so much grace. If you're new tuning in, hello. My name is Eleanor. We do have new listeners. Hello. If you don't follow me yet, follow me on unreliablenarrator.mp3 on Instagram. I'm trying my bestest. Like, I have new plots coming along. I want to create a visual aspect to this show. Like, I want to put us on YouTube because I know not everyone is going to have Spotify. And I refuse to go on Apple Music because I have to pay for that shit too. And I'm not gonna. So, tough. But thank you so much for tuning in. And to all my friends who are listening, I love you. Hope to see you soon. And to the rest of y'all, I hope you have a great week, weekend, day, whatever. I'll talk to y'all very soon. Goodbye. Thank you.